Right, so let's see if anybody has any kind of questions they have about practice in general or how to practice with this, whether you're online or out here in the hall. It's all fine. Yes, go ahead, Joyce.
Hi. So in this last sit, I was trying to practice with the elements, and I guess the bottom line is I felt like I was being a little bit hyperactive or ADHD. I was, oh, this is soft. Oh, this is hard. Oh, this is, oh, this feels good. Oh, this, oh, oh, look at that pattern is pretty on the table. So in essence, I felt like I was staying with my senses and what they were seeing, but it still felt all jumbly.
Yeah. It's because we, as soon as we leave the breath as an anchor, we think everything else is thinking. And so as soon as you leave the breath, it feels like I have to think about this and think about that and think about this and think about that. But you will learn how to sense it more so than think about it. And so you can sense the pattern. You can sense the texture of the tablecloth, right? You can sense the softness of it and sense the hardness of it. And it's external because it's external to you. But if you touch it, then you can actually feel internally, you might feel the hardness of that lace or the softness of it. And you can begin to feel it and touch it, and then you can sense it. But there is a quality that feels a lot like thinking when we first begin to actually practice with this. But the reason why it's important to just get past that thinking and not get too caught up in, oh, I can't do this because it's all thinking, is because elementary, if you begin to break your experiences up into elements, you will begin to get a sense that you're less reactive to the experience itself. If something is hard, but it's earth, we don't get so reactive to walking outside on the hard ground. We just kind of walk on it. We're used to that felt sense of hard. And sometimes experiences can also be hard, and yet we get reactive as if it shouldn't be. And so this practicing with the elements helps us take away some of that selfing energy around experience. You'll notice that even in your mind, when it's, you know, moving, it'll flow, it's all distracted. It'll just feel like stormy weather, just like a stormy mind, and not so much about the thoughts itself. And when I would have anxiety, I could think of it as wind instead of getting caught in anxiety. You know, and I've been outside on windy days, and I don't lose it. I just, you know, it's windy. You see? So that's, try not to get too discouraged about the thinking aspect of it. That'll begin to settle down as you start sensing into it more and more. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see you, Beth. Just a second. I'll do this question in the hall here.
I don't know how to say this, so I'll just try, which is, windy is a thought. Windy. Soft is a thought. Isn't that thinking? As opposed to simply experiencing it. Like, I can sit in my house and hear the wind or the whatever, the wind making contact with something, okay? And as soon as I begin to name it, I've moved from hearing whatever it is,
yep,
knowing that it's wind, to thinking about it.
Yep.
So what's the difference?
Nothing. You're right. It is a thought. Soft is a thought, windy thought. These are all thoughts. I'm using the words just to communicate it. But the actual experience, this is what I was pointing to with Joyce. It's the experience of it, not the words and thinking about it. And so you're right. As soon as you start naming the wind hitting the side of the house, you've already moved outside of the experience of it. And we want to be in the experience of it. But I have to use words to convey that experience, to point. It's the statement that, I think it's a Zen statement. It's a finger pointing to the moon. It's not the moon. The moon is the experience that you're pointing to. The finger is me saying windy. It's when me calling my anxiety. If I convey it to you, I call it windy. But when I felt it as wind and not as anxiety. I felt it as movement. You will have to take the mic.
So there was a moment, long or short, where I was simply hearing and experiencing the sound.
Yes.
Before I named it.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And the point is to be conscious of that sound for longer and longer periods?
That's what ends up happening. The okay. more you become present, the less you care what it's called, and the more you know you're experiencing it. But then if you try to convey to me, like you're saying, you have to use words in order for me to understand. But I understand that our words are just conveyance, and it's just the way we communicate. It's why Dhamma is so hard to talk about, because you're having an experience of something that words don't really, they don't really express it. And you can see how limiting these words are when we try to talk about it. Oh, go ahead, Beth.
I was doing the walking meditation. If I'm myself counting the steps, is yeah. that thinking? I mean, it pushed thoughts. It kept thoughts from intruding into my mind, but I That's noticed right. that there was still something going on in my head.
That's
that
right.
was beyond just experiencing the steps.
It is.
What's that
it
all
is,
about?
It is thinking that counting is thinking. And mostly we count so we can make sure we stay with the steps, right? So we're trying to stay. And, you don't have to count them. Some of it is a habit, right? It's a hard habit to break. So one way to break that habit is instead of trying to make sure you're taking 20 steps, instead say, I'm going to walk from the tree to the fence, and that's it. And don't worry about how many steps is in between the tree and the fence. The counting is actually getting you away from the felt sense experience of it. So you want to see if you can feel the hardness of the ground. And one way to kind of get away from that counting Because really the counting is just because you don't want to be caught thinking. So you think the counting will keep you steady right there. But you don't care whether you're thinking or not. The whole point of the stepping, the walking, is to drop it at the end, turn around and begin again. Get that, you want to do that, begin again. Drop it, begin again. You want to do that process. So even if you get lost in thought, the point is when you get to the tree, drop the whole thing and turn around and begin again. Set this new intention to begin again and stay with each step. And that's the way you train the mind to reassert itself, to begin again and stay here. But if you think of the elemental nature and slow it down some, it's hard to count unless you keep up with the counting, but it's very hard to count if you go one, two. It's very hard to get that counting in there. So the counting happens if you're one, two, three, four. So slow it down, slower. And it's really just going to help you feel each step. So you don't care how slow you go or how fast you go. You're just going to feel each step. And it'll help with the cutting out the counting.
Okay. Yeah, because I notice I count when I swim laps. And it's not like I count when I swim laps in a pool.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm trying to count to any particular number. It's just
you're just counting.
It's so automatic, yeah.
It's automatic.
Like a drop.
So you can see if slowing it down will help. Slowing it down or seeing if you can pay attention to the felt sense of the contact with the ground.
Okay.
Okay. I'll get you sage and then.
Okay.
Yeah. I am having some difficulty between the naming and the labeling and the actual experience without the labeling. And I was wondering if you had any more thoughts on that.
Yes. The labeling is part and parcel of our way of, it's how we learn, right? So this is one of the things I like about elements, is that elemental practice. You can begin to sense what hard is. You don't have to see it. We're going to get caught in the labeling in the beginning, but it's just part and parcel of how we learn things. And so it's not going to necessarily go away right away. But it's, if you just stand there and look at a tree and your mind knows hard, but you can stand there and look at it and begin to sense, what does that hard actually feel like? And you can sense and learn hardness just by feeling into it, by just looking at it and staring at it and not. That's why it's an establishment of mindfulness, because you can get beyond the label of just calling it hard and then walking away. You can feel what hardness is, and it's a sensory experience. And so that's what you're looking for, is the sensory experience of hard and heavy and soft and light. You're not looking for the label itself. And so that sensory experience comes with spending more time with the actual object. So you can call tea water, but you have to actually experience it, taste it, look at it, watch it to begin to understand what water actually is as an experience. Do you see what I'm pointing to?
I see what you're pointing to. I also sense the extreme difficulty of, you know, breaking down that this is hard, this is what that feels like. And what I'm hearing you say is keep practicing with that and stay with that and see if the label will fade, fade away.
Yes.
Into emptiness, I guess.
It will fade away. If you, so you have an ability to intuitively know something. You have that. It comes with the body. The same way hearing comes with the body. The same way seeing comes with the body. It's not you, Sage. It is part of the body. So this intuitive way of knowing something is something that we're trying to unlock. This is what I think the Buddha was saying when he said the Dhamma eye, is that you're unlocking a way of knowing that's outside of our intellect. But we're going to have to use this intellect and this phenomena together to unlock that. And so not being discouraged by thinking about Earth and just staying with it. What I found was staring at it. That's what I found was the greatest help for me, was I would sit and just stare at a tree. And gradually, I would begin to feel the hardness of that tree. You just have to stare at it and just stay there. And I think this is why this is an establishment of mindfulness, because you have to return to it again and again and again and again and stay with it in the present moment as an experience. And you actually establish mindfulness this way, a steadiness of mind in the present moment. Great. Thanks. Right here, and then we'll do both of you.
Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
When I was walking outside, and this is a pretty common experience for me, when I do get settled and focused, is just some of the sensory experiences, I just experience them as really kind of beautiful and vibrant and delightful, like the greens of the grass or like a little bird popping around. And it feels like that appreciation is not just a label of like pretty, you know, or just a feeling tone of like, I like that thing. It feels a little lower than that. But I wonder if that's also just a sort of subtler thinking mind that I should be dropping, or are those kind of the sensory experiences I should be, like, what's that balance between awareness and distraction and appreciation?
I think that appreciation you're talking about is the truth of present moment. It's why even some of the most painful things we go through, there's a beauty in it when we are present moment. I mean, you can hear it when people are with someone they really care about in their final moments, and yet they're present with the whole thing. They're not lost in some thought about losing this person. They're just with them. And the way they describe it is not like, oh, it was such a terrible experience. I was with Nana and they left. It's more like it was so beautiful. It was so precious and real that present moment experience is not this overwhelming grief and pain that the mind associates with things. So, yes, you could have a bouquet of flowers and say, oh, that's beautiful. But what you're pointing to is just looking at the color of grass. Even if some are bent and cracked and some's got too much mud on it and it doesn't necessarily look beautiful, but when you look at it in the present moment, it is beautiful. It is precious. This is why I think the Buddha was pointing so clearly to come into the present moment and not make our referencing about everything based on what we think is going on, but come into the present moment and then experience your life. And yes, it can be difficult and still very beautiful. Yeah, that's what I think the difference is. Good.
I had in the walking, I was experiencing this
real difficulty of sort of doing it as a, I chose a spot which was sunny, and there's a path that has stones. So, okay, I could feel the sun on my body and feel the stones on my feet and hear the crunch. Okay, so that would just, and go back and forth, and each time start over again. But then I started noticing the little weeds growing in between the stones, and I could not help myself from pulling them up. I couldn't stop. So, this is craving. It wasn't aversion. I wasn't disliking the weeds. They were kind of, weeds are lovely, but I could not, like, oh, here, I'm trying to just be in the moment, experience it, and I'm acting on it in a way that just felt like, why am I doing this? But I couldn't stop.
Yeah. Actually, Deborah, that's quite beautiful. This is what we have to see in the long run. As beautiful, what's your name?
Justin.
As beautiful as Justin's moment is with it, that beauty, that present moment joy is what we need to experience to realize our habit patterns. And that's you were probably a gardener. Because I am not a gardener. I would have looked at those weeds and kept on walking.
I'm a gardener here. That's one of my tasks, is I come here and I pull the weeds.
That's right.
This wasn't my gardening day.
That's right. But your body can't let go of that. We live out of habit. And this is what we want to see. So the present moment is not just about the beauty and the simplicity of just being it. It's also seeing our habit patterns. But you have to know and recognize that's habit. That's what habit is. And we cannot stop it. That's exactly what it is. You cannot stop it. Once it gets started, this is what pulls us in life. And so you're not, this was a beautiful habit. Thank you for pulling the weeds up there. But this is the way to counter that is, as much as you want to go outside on your walking, do your walking inside so you don't get trapped by that very thing that will trap you as a habit, not as I should be able to go outside and not get caught in that. You will get caught. So do your walking inside and see what happens. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's he mentioned something, but it was total chaos. It was like total chaos. I was walking on the gravel. I was nuts, right? And as soon as I took a step, everything just fell apart. And then finally at the end, I was just going, oh, I could be playful instead of being like, so I just want this step to be perfect. I just want this to be like finished when I take the next step, which it never was. And so finally when I said, I could be playful with this, then that went away.
Yeah, very nice, beautiful.
Yeah.
So if you hold the walking as some kind of requirement of getting it right, we always get trapped in that. It's never going to be right, whatever that is. But exactly what you said. If you hold it as the whole experience, however that walking period is part of learning walking. Can I just settle with this? Can I just settle with this? Can I just settle and begin again? I don't care what happens. Begin again. Then exactly what you're describing is what happens. The mind will let go of its arguing and it will come into the present moment.
I would agree, but I'm German.
That's perfect. Okay, good.
All right. Thank you. I'll let you guys go so you can have a moment to go to the restroom before you come back.